So like I put in the announcement today, I'm going to talk about the younger generations, and I was going to do it all on millennials today, but then I found this great article that just hit from Pew Research on teens, and so I thought, let's look at both generations. Let's look at teens, which really are not part of the millennials, although sometimes they treat them as such. I think the millennials today are like 20 to 33-year-olds or something like that. That's a millennial generation. I don't have the exact ages of it, but somewhere in that regard. But a new research article came out on teens, so I thought I'd share some of that information because it was insightful to me. And we, of course, I'm working right now with somebody who's 14 that might be getting involved in Manitech. So, I mean, we get younger kids, younger and younger, and that's my goal, is directing that, because I know the statistics, which we're going to go over, and I've attached some of those onto your onto your outline as well. But they talked about much of the, it's a Pew Research Center came out with this information, and it was just published in Friday's probably every newspaper across the country. And the top title of the article was, "Much of Teen Social Life is Now Online, Poll Finds." Much of teen social life is now online. And I thought, wow, I better get clear on this. Now, we can all dismiss this and say, oh, yeah, I knew that already. Yeah, because of computers and iPhones and everything. Everybody's on the Internet of everything, and Al talks about the Internet of everything. But I think it's something more than just dismissing it like you know it and finding out, looking at some of the statistics, because being aware of what the issues are around it are what we need to do. We need to dissect it and see how it's going to impact us moving forward. So one of the big shifts that's happened is the majority of teenagers don't consider meeting strangers online taboo. In other words, they're really excited about meet-up peoples. They love to meet people. And they said 6 in 10 say they've met at least one new friend on the Internet. And there's other statistics that say 29% say they've met more than 5 friends online. So you're talking about people making significant friendships, building friendships online. And that's intriguing. So that's going on all the time in the teen era, whereas some of us would be a little bit more circumspect perhaps because of how we were raised, but realize that this is where teens are finding most of their friendships. They're digging in a lot of their friendships. And they are actually spending more time texting and communicating through online games and social networks than they ever have. And they spend more time doing kind of things, texting and all that kind of stuff, than they are technically with meeting people, let's say, at people's homes or coffee shops or all that kind of stuff. Their preference is spending time or communicating through texting and online games than it is meeting up at a coffee shop or going to somebody's home or doing meetup groups. That's the way the teens are coming along. And one third of those who met people online, one out of three of them are actually scheduling personal one-on-one meetings. So they're making it personal after they develop the relationship online. And so those online interactions are truly shaping the lives and social lives and identities of a lot of American teens today. And we have to recognize that as it's happening, and it's happening whether we like it or not. It is out there and it's happening. And there are a lot of, you know, research groups out there that are keyed into the teen group, because those people are huge in terms of population numbers as well. I think they said something like, what was the statistic? I saw something like 10,000 teens a day join something, 10,000 a day. It's really amazing because we don't get the magnitude of the numbers in this world today of people. But the gaming online was fascinating to me as well. I don't do any games online. I've never played any games on my phone, and I see people do that all the time. But and here's a funny thing. One of my people in my downline, in fact, one of my fastest business builders, she's in her early 40s, and late 40s. Anyway, she had a gaming partner out in California that she plays games with. She's never met him. But she's talked to him, and they play games, and she got him signed up as an all-star in Manitech. Isn't that all incredible? So she was a classic case where it's not somebody that's, you know, a millennial or a teen, but it's somebody that are, you know, that Generation X generation that's really you know, or Generation Y, I don't know which one she comes in, but they're involved in gaming online, and gaming online is becoming huge, and it's becoming even greater for the teenage groups. And the boys are the greatest gamers. They say 84% play video games, while only 59% of girls. And for 40% of those boys, their gaming handle is the first bit of info they share with others. It's almost like their badge of honor is their gaming handle. So that's going on in a phenomenal way with teens. And then the other thing is creating the online image. Here's something that was fascinating to me, because if you remember yourself when you were a teen and you're thinking about identity, who are you? Well, you know, of course I had my faith, but I really didn't know who I was. I mean, you're forming your own identity as you're going through those early years of, especially preteen years, right? And you're out there and you're in search. You're constantly in search. You're looking for who I am, what's most important to me, what am I going to be when I grow up, da-da-da-da-da, what's my identity? And you have some certain core principles that you work with, but you still are in search. You spend a lot of those years in an unknowing situation. And that's true about preteens and teens. So it's not like we know exactly what our identity is. And what is social media? I mean, what is it? I mean, when we go on Facebook and we give our whole history and our likes and dislikes, and we get into Pinterest, and all of a sudden we're forced into grabbing onto an identity. And some people just aren't ready, because if you ask a teen what it means to be authentic, a lot of them will look at you and, I mean, they're not going to be real sure of what the meaning of that is. It depends. And today, their authenticity might be totally different than tomorrow, depending on the influences in their life. So it can be really hard for teens when they get on all these social sites for them to not be falling into the trap of being what I call the chameleon, where every day they're changing into something else, or their emphasis, it becomes something else, because their interests are just starting to, you know, they're just starting to get involved in different things. And you remember as a kid, or I remember as a kid, I don't know, most of you probably do as well, but as we grew up, we just got more and more interest because we had more and more exposure. Well, today these kids have massive bombardment of exposure everywhere. So they're constantly getting exposure. So they're experimenting with different things every other day. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So it's hard for them to really build what it means for them to be authentic. They're not even sure who they are yet, or what's most important to them in life. Many of them are still grappling with those issues. So when you see the issues that happen on the internet and on Facebook, a lot of these people feel that, or 9 in 10, I think that was the statistic, 9 in 10 teens, this is not people, but make sure we're still talking about teens. 9 in 10 teens said that they had witnessed people overshare information about themselves on social media. And 85% of them said that the social media users present a carefully crafted image of themselves online that may not be authentic. So they find that 85%, so that's 85% feel like people are using social media to present themselves online in something other than who they are or what they are. So they don't necessarily trust the information that's being disclosed. So that's the importance of getting to know somebody online with multiple interactions, so you get a real flavor of who the person is versus what they really say in their data bank, in their you know, background, in their summary of who they are. So they have a hard time setting it up. So this just gives you an idea of what's going on out there with the teen world, what's going on and how they perceive us and how they perceive information. But the other important fact to know is how much time they're spending and what percentage of people are out there playing games, right? It's crazy. It's really overtaken people's lives. And a lot of you who have teens at home, you're going, Mary Jo, I already experienced that every day of my life, right? Yeah, exactly. So that's a little bit about our teens. Anyone have any questions, comments about teens? And, of course, that's a hard group to get focused on anything because, again, they're still experimenting. So signing up a 14- or 16-year-old, of course, you need their parents' approval because they're not of age. They can't sign into a legally binding contract at this time, but they can get involved in Manatech as long as their parents sign for them. All right, good. So that's just why are we studying this generation today? Because in 5 years they're going to be the next group of millennials coming along, right? Not called millennials, they'll give them some other name, but that's going to be the next wave. And there are tons of them out there. So we've got to be ready for them and have a little bit of understanding of what's coming along in our world so can have a better relationship with them and be able to talk their kind of language and relate to them. Now let's jump in and talk about millennials and how to work with millennials in terms of how do we get millennials in our business, how do we work with them, what do we know about them. And, you know, we've talked about this and we'll probably do many other presentations on this because they're a great group of people and this business is absolutely bloody perfect for them. Why? Because all the things that we mentioned, if you look at all the reasons in the flip chart that it talks about millennials, why they're choosing to be self-employed today, those are exactly the reasons we argue for network marketing, for this business model. And they all want unlimited financial freedom. They don't want to be stuck in a job. And so we need to really recognize this and how do we best work with them. And I love my millennial group is growing. In fact, my top enroller this past week was one of my millennials. A 22-year-old guy had the most signups last week in my business. He had, I think, 3 or 4 signups. It was at 3. I think he had a fourth one. But that's great to see these youngsters getting involved. Youngsters, I call them young adults getting involved. And so let's look at, there's a good book out there too that was written, 2 Billion Under 20. It's called 2 Billion Under 20. And it was actually written by two people, Stacy Ferreira and Jared Kleinert. And these two kids, they're both millennials. So it's written by millennials for millennials. And it talks about how they're changing the world. And they are. It's really cool. And one of the things they mentioned in the book, too, is they said they don't want life to be all about them. They just want it to include them. So they want this inclusive. They're not stage mongers. They're not people that want to be up front and on stage all the time. They're people that just want to be included. They want to make decisions. That's why they love to vote. That's why they love to be informed. This is a generation that loves to watch the politics and watch what's going on. They truly listen. They hear what they hear. They're going to follow people that resonate with them. Okay? And that's what they do. They're very educated. I remember, you know, in my era, I think most people were virtually apolitical. You know, we got tired. This group is because they are interested in changing the world. They're interested in greater changes. And it's not all about them. It's what? They want to be included. They want to be a part of change. And so in a article, there are 5 tips that were written up for working with millennials, and I want to go through that, and then I want to review with you just, there are plenty of stats out there, but I attached a page on the last page of the outline for us to look at as well. Yeah, but let's first look at, you know, how do I work with millennials? First thing you want to do is honor them and respect their intelligence, because these kids are the most educated group of kids coming out of our country ever. They more of them are college graduates than any generation we've ever seen. So, but they've also, it's not just about being college graduates, it's also about, you know, these kids have been given access to smartphone devices, you know, when they were 14, 15, 16 years old. They have more computing, and these smart devices really have more computing power than NASA computers did when, you know, the older generations, our generation, went to the moon. That's how much computing power is in a cell phone today, these smartphones. So not only is this group very educated, smart, they're also very savvy, and they will find answers to anything that really matters to them. They're not people that you can talk to things and they're not going to research it. These kids are all in. They're going to know everything about everything because they can, on a touch of their finger, they can find things out on their phone. And they know exactly how to navigate the internet like no others. So when you're talking to them, you really want to respect their intelligence, their access to immediate information, unlike any other generation we've ever seen. So you want to make sure that your communication with them is always honest. You want to be very clear when you're communicating with them because they're going to find the truth anyway. So the crucial concepts for you to recognize. So again, you might go out there and, you know, shooting from the hip with some people, but being a promoter, that kind of is our style, but I don't like doing that no matter what. But with these millennials, you want to be clear, concise, direct, and on top of things. so that you are definitely not giving them any reason to walk away from you because they find something you said was not accurate. You want to be honest and accurate. All right. Secondly, you want to appeal to their personal values, because most millennials today would much rather take their own unique path that aligns with their values and their goals, okay? So they're looking for that uniqueness. And that means they're going to choose and step out and do what they feel is going to be best. It might be starting a technology company in the Silicon Valley, or another group, or people, one of them or two of them, or a group of them, whatever. They might take a month off excursion to help preserve wildlife in southern Nepal. I mean, they're going to choose their path. What song resonates with them is where they're going to choose. So we want to look for these people and find out what those personal values are in these kids. What are their goals in life? What are the direction? What really floats their boat? It's the ultimate group of people that you want to find a why. I mean, we go and find whys for everybody, but when you're looking at this group, with baby boomers, a lot of it is they need more cash flow to retire on. They want to stay relevant. They want to stay, have a legacy. They want all the reasons. You want to know the whys around baby boomers. Just read the Forbes article that's out there, right, on the millennials. But, I mean, on the baby boomers. That's a great article that gives you really, truly what baby boomers are about. But when you look at millennials, you got to search, because there isn't a set group of values that are really self-evident with them. It's got to be, what is that going to be interesting to them? What's going to float their boat? So you want to definitely appeal to those personal values and find out what is important to them. What do they love doing? If money and one of my favorite questions is, if money and time were no object, what would you be doing? I mean, where would you be right now? They love to dream about where they'd be, you know, and they just let them run with it. Just hold nothing back. Just come out of your shell. Be totally out there, you know, because you got to give them freedom to express that. And you can't do that the first time you meet them in the first couple sentences, because they're not going to necessarily do that. They'll be more guarded. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you're about. But once you engage them in conversation and always honor them, I mean, I love it when I do like cash flow quadrants. I'm talking and I go, wow, you are so bright. That is so awesome. You got that. Did you read any of his books? I'll go, have you read all of Kiyosaki's books? No, Mary Jo, I really, I go, I always make them feel terrific about themselves. And that's part of that respecting their intelligence. But it's also about honoring them. Don't ever treat them as less knowledgeable, because most of these kids have more knowledge collected because they've been on an intake patterning since they were 12, 13 years old with their first smartphone. They've been feeding their head data constantly. And they had smartphones. I mean, you can't even imagine. Some of us on the call today probably still don't have smartphones, but they have access 24/7 to internet. And I found another statistic that said something like 70% of these people sleep with their phone right there at their bed. 70% of them. I mean, I think that's kind of crazy, because I don't like all those radio waves and everything. But the concept is that's how they operate. So we want to appeal to their personal values. So you got to find out what they are, and you want to spend time with them so that they feel free to express themselves openly to you. And once you build that relationship, I mean, they're terrific. They love working with you. They trust you. They'll work, and that's what you want to build, is that level of trust with them. Once you appeal to their life goals, you want them to tell you. You go, well, tell me, how do you want me to work with you? How can I help you achieve this? What's our best way to do? You want to be really clear. How do we want to work at this? What's the best way? And then you develop a way, and then you just grow them as they go along. And it's wonderful. You build terrific relationship. Number three, connect and respect. Again, stop thinking in terms of going out there and marketing to millennials. Oh, I can't wait. Today I'm going to go out and market to millennials. No, you're not. Think of the word connect. They love the word connect. They love connector societies. They love all those kind of things. That's who they are. They believe in connecting at every opportunity they have. They go to weddings. They connect to everybody. They go to this. They connect with everybody. They're connectors. They're natural-born connectors. Some of you say, well, they tend to do it more through their devices. Well, that's okay, but they're still connecting. And They want to be part of, you know, everything that they're involved in. They want to feel like a part owner in everything that they do. So, you know, that's one of the great things about network marketing with millennials is the fact that they are the owner of their future. They're the owner of their business. This is their own business. So they get to own it. They get to feel they're stepping into it in ownership, and that you want to emphasize that language with millennials. And what millennials want to work with you and learn with one of the best strategies is just basically you want to, one of the best strategies that we have in terms of working with millennials is to level the playing field by simply asking for advice. So you tend to want to be the know-it-all. Ask them for advice. When we work with our millennials, we're asking them for advice on social media campaigns and how to drive things and do you think this would be better and maybe we should do, you know, different ways of posting things or different, you know, different ways of training people or different ideas. We are constantly asking them because they help us upgrade our approach in terms of our websites, our getting started places, all those things. They're very much big into contributing to all those things. And they typically enthusiastically provide their thoughts and perspectives. And it will help drive them to have a bigger and a deeper connection with Manatech when you do that. So get them involved. They want to be a part of it. And I think Manatech is planning a huge millennial-type celebration. Al's been talking about it for a couple months, but I haven't seen any word of it. But they wanted to have like a millennial surge that in the Dallas area for millennials. So hopefully that's coming up soon. So connect and respect. Always know that. Connect and respect. Number four is respect their autonomy. And what does that mean? It means that these people are really highly independent thinkers. And what they're seeking out is their own identities. They want to be given options. They want to make their own choices for themselves. So don't corner them in a corner. This to me means I spend 3 or 4 times talking to people or meeting up with them before we get them registered in Manatech. And then I spend some more time helping, you know, meeting them up with them at other coffee shops or wherever to deal with other issues. And it's just a way to keep on top of them, keep involved. If you try to coerce them, it was not going to go over very well. It doesn't, they don't want to be manipulated. They don't want to be, they are so black and white. They want it clear, crisp. They want honest, open communication. And they want to feel like they're in charge and you respect them for their individualism. So it's not about going out there with network marketing. You don't want to tell them why they should do something. You want to show them how it will benefit them. Just like, you know, one of my millennials, when he revealed to me, you know, about the income they're making, he and his girlfriend, and they're probably going to get married, and he's talking about they'll have a nice lifestyle, but these student loans, paying back student loans, because these guys, millennials, have borrowed extensively. They have huge debts in student loans. I mean, I'm not talking, I remember when I got out of school, of course, I worked all the way through school. Millennials don't tend to do that. They have a lot less of them working through college. Most of them believe in student loans. And so what's happened is they've accrued all this student loan debt, and now they're in a position where they have to pay it back. Well, this is true about this guy, and he was going to like $600-$700 or something like that. And so I said, let's make a game plan. And I said, here, through Manatech and this vehicle, let's get you to national director by that time. 6 months, get you to national director. Now let Manatech pay for your student loans. And that was he was ecstatic because I showed him how it would benefit him. If he had somebody else paying off his student loans, are you kidding? Do you think that's not a huge concept for a millennial? It's gigantic. But you have to find that out, search that out with them. And that's how you make it happen. You got to work with them on it, okay? And then the fifth one is just the with concept. It's just people, when you're working with millennials, you want to connect with them. You want to talk with them. You want to work with that generation because they're capable of propelling your business off the charts. So, but always have it with. Not use the right word here because it's the word with is what you really want to be all about in working with millennials because that's gaining their respect and attention. You want they make them feel included. They, you know, it's that all-inclusive part. They're part of your team. They're part of a team call. I have millennial calls on Sunday nights. It's part of a team. It's part of a group. They're special. They're independent, but we're part of a team that works together to make the to drive the best possible results, right? And that's what this is about. So hopefully these concepts helped you a lot in terms of how you work with millennials. They're a great group. They're definitely, we've talked about the economic situation, why network marketing is perfect for them. We've gone over that in past talks. And now it's just about how do you work with them to get them interested. Some will, some won't. Next. But it hits upon all the things that they love. They love financial independence. They want to be free. They want to be able to take off and spend a month in Nepal, you know, in wild forest restoration activities and things like that. So you want to give them the option to do that. In their JOBs, trust me. In fact, there are so many millennials out there that are nervous about even the job they get, whether it's going to be here in 5 years. So it's not like when we got out of school and I got out of law school and I went with a law firm, I was made in the shade. God only knows that I was going to change my job every 3 years because I got bored with what I was doing, you know. But Manatech's been the only thing I stayed at longer than 3 years at any given slot of my whole life. Because I would work someplace and I'd say, you know what, I've already conquered this. Where's my next conquer? And somehow with Manatech, it seems like it changes every year. So it keeps driving me. But I think the Lord led me in this direction. But it was like, you know, millennials they see that they don't have more than 3 to 5 years in a job. That's one of their statistics. So let's jump in and take a peek at some of the statistics. I put a statistics sheet at the back of the outline because I think it's important for us to recognize with millennials what we're dealing with. And first of all, it starts out, the millennial generation is larger than the baby boom generation, 3 times the size of Generation X. 3 times. That's huge. So this millennial generation is gigantic. And of course, as we see the baby boom generation retiring, you know, the marketing that's going on today is starting to shift away from the the baby boomers into the millennials because they see it as the next, you know, we used to talk about the baby boomers were that, like that big basketball and if you'd looked at a water hose and there was a basketball in the middle of the water hose, you know, inside the hose, that's what our population surge looked like when the baby boomers came out. Well, the millennials are even larger than that. And they're predicting that by 2018, which is only 3 years away, they will have more buying power in the millennial group than we have in the baby boomer. More buying power. That's huge. So look at their statistics. They're roughly 77 million millennials and make up 1/4 of the U.S. population. So 25% of our U.S. population are now millennials. 43% of millennials in the U.S. are non-white. That is huge. It's the largest share of any generation ever. 43, almost half of our millennials are non-white. So what are we looking at? Hispanic, we're looking at Asians, we're looking at mixed cultures. A lot of them are non-white because it's mixture of parents, right? So just tremendous amount of non-white. 1/4 of the millennials in the U.S. speak a language other than English at home. At home. 1/4, again, that kowtows again to the 43% of them being non-white. 1/4 of them are, again, we have so many Asians and we have so many, you know, people that have come from foreign countries, and those people are producing, mass producing as well, and so we have a very mixed culture today. Millennials in the U.S. wield about $1.3 trillion in annual buying power, so that's gigantic. The median income for millennials in the United States who are year-round full-time workers is $33,000. Okay? Median, $33,000. So you're talking about kids in their 20s are making $33,000, and that's not a lifestyle that's presenting a lot of tremendous amount of extra cash flow to do a lot of extra things. But there is some there, but they'd rather be making $100,000. And that's what you're trying to do is double their that median income form through Manatech. double, triple, quadruple it, right? More than 85% of millennials in the U.S. own smartphones, so we already know that. They're a big key on, and they tend to carry them everywhere they go. They touch their smartphones 45 times a day. It's huge. 87% of online adults in the U.S. age 18 to 29 use Facebook. 87% of the millennials use Facebook. 53% on Instagram, 37% on Twitter, 34% on Pinterest. That age group represents the large chunk of millennials. That's what we're talking about. They are huge in social media. 5 out of 6 millennials in the U.S. connect with companies on social media networks. Top 5 favorite brands of millennials in the U.S. are Nike, Apple, Samsung, Sony, and Walmart. Those are their top 5 brands. And important to know those, so when you're relating to them, you're not talking foreign language to them. Those are the millennials in the U.S. are 7 times more likely to give their personal information to a trusted brand than to any other brand. So trust is a big issue. Remember we just talked about that? These guys are information kings and queens. They can find the truth anywhere because they have access to massive bits of information. So you want to be definitely telling them the truth, giving accurate information to them at all times. So they love that. Trust is a big issue. 1/3 of the older millennials, these are 26 to 33, that's the higher age range of the millennials, have earned at least a 4-year college degree, making them the best educated group of young adults in U.S. history. Best educated group of young adults in U.S. history. And I know people say, yeah, but Mary Jo, they're not finding jobs. In fact, there was an article that was written, and actually a movie came out about in France where they're calling it the lost generation because the job market's so soft for that age group. We have a lot of, you know, millennials that also are, but what I just saw some great job statistics today. Of course, they can be read 18 different ways, but, you know, the market's definitely picked up in a big way, but the millennials still, there's a group of millennials that are suffering, and the income they're making isn't, I mean, you know, I graduated from college. Of course, I went to law school, but I, you know, my first year out of law school in 1980, I was making $36,000 a year. So they're at $33,000 median, and I got out of college almost 40 years ago, right? So there's a big difference you're talking about, and cost of living, unbelievable difference compared to that. So that income level isn't the best. The 26% of the millennials in the U.S. are married, compared to 36% of Gen X, 48% of baby boomers, and 65% of the silent generation at the same age. So you see but I think that statistic also has to do with the fact that they're a younger generation. So they're waiting, and they're not interested in getting married in necessarily. They don't feel any pressure in their 20s to get married. My niece, just yesterday was her birthday, and she turned 30. And she's been dating the same guy for like 5 years. And marriage isn't even a thought. And I think that's kind of crazy. I kind of want to say, hey, either break it off and get on with that life or decide. But that's just the way they work. They operate. That marriage is not something that has to happen. 66% of the millennials in the U.S. follow a company or brand on Twitter. 64% like a company or brand on Facebook to score a coupon or discount. So they're shoppers all the time, right? They're like branding. 56% of millennials in the U.S. would share their location with companies to receive coupons or deals for nearby businesses. So they're very open with their information. They don't have the insecurities that some of the baby boomers do in terms of sharing information and data. 51% of U.S. millennials would share information with companies in exchange for an incentive. So again, whatever they get in exchange for it, that's what makes a determination whether they give up their information. Only 6% of millennials in the U.S. consider online advertising to be credible. That's gigantic. Huge. So you know that connecting is what's really big. It's kind of like the other research that I did. I talked about the Nielsen study last July. I bring that up all the time when I do the share the Choose Your Lifestyle presentation, because it's so huge. When they said 92 or 93% of the population in that Nielsen study said they buy based on a friend's recommendation. and 50% said they didn't trust traditional marketing at all. And now you're looking at this statistic for the millennial generation. Only 6% of millennials consider online advertising to be credible. So what are they looking for? They're looking for connecting with friends and relying on relationship. So, and that's what they said. The 18th fact is what? For 95% of millennials in the U.S., friends are the most credible source of product information. So once you get these millennials in your business, what is our business about? Friends connecting. And that's what makes millennials such a huge, huge category of people that you want in your business, because that's how they do business. The credibility they achieve is from friends. So, okay, people, that's great. So any questions, comments, tell me about what your views are on millennials. Did you enjoy the information today? And then maybe share what you plan on doing with it. Anyone? How many of you guys are approaching millennials? Go ahead. Who do I have?
Thanks for sharing. This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
It's good for you to give us this information of how to deal with these younger people. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. So go out there, make a plan, and start working with them. Great.
Thank you. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi.
This is Shireen up in Canada.
Yeah.
And we have some millennials in our group.
Wonderful.
And we're just kind of learning how to best, like, work the presentation. So what you were saying about using that new brochure, we're expecting ours this week, and we're very excited about it. But what we're finding is when we've gone in with a biweekly meeting, and they come in and we do, like, a hour presentation, and we're often using the Tuesday Night Lives, it's just too long for them. And
oh, absolutely.
What are you finding we should be – do you have suggestions of what we can do in a group setting?
In a group setting, I would hand
yeah.
out the brochures, and I would get a drawing board, a whiteboard. They love whiteboard
okay.
stuff. They love that. And you can do a brief, you can just kind of talk about where the economy is, hit the highlight points.
Okay.
Choose Your Lifestyle gets too long for them. They
yeah.
don't, you know, these guys, it's not, you know, it's so funny because people go, oh, man, they all have ADHD. And I go, absolutely not. ADHD is a diagnosis of a medical condition. What's happened is they've been bombarded by millions of bits of data. You watch them on their phones and on their iPads, and they just go through massive data. So their brain is trained to get massive amounts of information in a short period of time. So when you put them through a Choose Your Lifestyle, if it's you know, I try to keep mine to 30 minutes when I give it. But, you know, if you can keep it concise or shorten it, what they need to know is the job market is kind of – they know the job market's soft. You don't even have to go through all that stuff. And they know about robots and stuff. You can go through that initial part in, like, 2 minutes or 3 minutes. What they need to know is cash flow quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
They love that. Because that's education to them because they've never heard it. So I love hitting this is when I do a three-way call or work with a millennial, it's about cash flow quadrants. And then I talk to them, so if you're going to start your own business, what do you want to start your own business? Because Kiyosaki says the number one way, you want to be on the right side of the quadrant, don't you? And everybody, they all go, absolutely, Mary Jo, this is amazing stuff. You know what I mean? It's like it really drives their brain. And then they go, well, what kind of business do you want to start? I said, you want to start a business, you want to follow a mega trend. I said, you don't want to go stuck in a typewriter business. And I said, wellness is one of the greatest. Don't you agree? You see everybody, how are people eating today? What are they looking for? Why is McDonald's stock collapsing? Why does Chick-fil-A off the charts? You look at even the fast food joints. The only one that's really working tremendously well today is Chick-fil-A. That company, because it serves top brand stuff. You know, they do a lot of great things with their foods. I still don't like the fried chicken. I always get the grilled. But they give you those options. You got it? So you got a lot of great, healthy options. And there are like 50% more expensive than any other fast food joint, but you can't even stop at a Chick-fil-A, and I don't know how many of you got it in your areas, but in Texas, you can't even stop there at noon without waiting in line in the drive-thru for 15, 20 minutes because it's so jam-packed. That's what's happening. So you see that, you know, so wellness is huge. So you get into the wellness arena, and then you talk about why direct selling, and you talk about their independence. And you those 3 points, cash flow quadrants, wellness, and direct selling, bingo. It. And then they'll start asking, and always get for me and millennials, it's always about, what do you think about this? What do you see in this? What do you think this, how is this speaking to you? Great kind of questions. instead of being the know-it-all, ask them how they're thinking. What are you thinking about this? What do you think? How is this touching you? What's going on in your brain right now? What questions do you have? Have you ever heard of this before? Interject a lot of interaction with them. You want their advice. What do you think about this? You get it? Does that help? So cash flow quadrants.
Very good.
Follow the mega trends, and then fits right into why Manatech. Yeah, go ahead.
Could you give us some suggestions about where to go to find millennials?
Where to go to find them? Golly, they're everywhere. They hang out at coffee shops. Those are great things. Meetup groups. You can go to like after work meetup group type things. You can find them through relatives of people already in your organization. You can hang out anywhere near a college campus.
Okay.
Anywhere. That's a huge place to find them. They're everywhere. When you go out and go to retail shops, you know, sales shops, any kind of shops or stuff like that, when you see them working, how many millennials do you come across that, you know, are clerks in stores or doing stuff like that, trying to find odds and ends jobs to make things work? A lot of those things. Go to professional meetings, like, you can look up in the directories, young professionals, those kind of meetings. You can go and do those kind of things and just hang out. You don't have to be young. You can go there. I mean, so there's, you look at your meetings that are happening around your environment, or if you have to go to a larger town where you're going to be more saturated with millennials. I mean, they do represent a huge percentage of our population today. So they're, but you have to, you know, just look in, you're looking for up and coming group type groups and things that they like. They like, and we know what they like. They love social media. They love Apple. You can go hang out at an Apple store, and you'll see 1,000 millennials.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yes.
You have an local Apple store? Oh my gosh, they love that. Where else, Lydia? Best Buy. They love Best Buy, don't they?
Go to Austin.
Lydia says, if that's Sharon's question, I think that's you, Sharon. You live right next door to Austin. All you got to do is walk into Austin. Austin has a zillion. In fact, Austin, Texas, is considered the millennial capital of the United States.
I guess I better get over there.
You get it? I mean, it's number one in the U.S. I saw that statistic somewhere. They said Austin's the millennial capital, and it's the most sought-after environment for millennials. So you want to find millennials, you got the number one spot is your next-door neighbor to Bastrop. So, yeah. And they're about, not only are there Apple stores there, but you could go to the Apple campus because they have, like, massive buildings. They must employ a zillion people in Austin because they got these massive buildings. I would go over there and hang out at their place of work. Or you might consider getting a part-time job over there. You know? I don't know. Be a receptionist for 6 months. You'll quadruple your Manatech business. You know? I mean,
that's
who knows?
Okay.
Isn't that a fun idea? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just for fun.
Idea.
Yeah. You'll get a zillion because I guarantee you that more than 50% of the people working at that Apple location, probably 75%, are all millennials.
Hang out over there.
Yeah.
I got to change my places of hanging out because I'm.
I think so. That's number one. Yeah. And you got to be joyful and you have to be fun and you have to be, all the things I talked about. Honest, open, in that mode of just, knowing that we got some issues going on in our country and you just want to help people hit their achieve financial freedom, because that's not an easy thing to do today in our world, is it? No.
Yeah.
And we believe in the American dream. It just looks a little different today. And it's going to be looking different than you because it's not about J-O-B. Yeah. And they can love, these guys love their job at Apple. A lot of them do. So it's not about not loving their job. It's just like, but it's the fact is, you show them the cash flow quadrants and, your job's going to pay you a good living and you're going to exist. But what if, are you giving up on having unlimited wealth in your life? And they'll look at you and go, well, no, I don't think so. And I say, well, how are you going to get it? And that's the question.
Not with a job.
How are you seeing yourself being wealthy in your lifetime with what you're doing right now? What's your plan? And that's what you're, because these millennials like to plan because they don't want to wait till they're 65 to have $2 million in the bank. They rather see that at 35. And you have a plan for them. So it's just a matter of, and they're big into, they're typically sensitive to, you know, health because they've seen their parents. And
yeah.
I mean, that's why some of my millennials, I just helped sign up, you know, one of them who joined a month ago, he finally had me do a three-way call with his mom, and she's signed up like that day. And he's ecstatic. Now he's helping his family get healthy. And he just, that's a big important aspect of his life as well. Yeah? So
yeah.
I love the idea. This is what I love. When you get the millennials involved, when you really get them involved, they will bring the baby boomers in. They will bring Generation X in. They're going to bring the next generation. Their parents will get involved for a couple reasons. They love their kids, and they really, when the kids get sold on something, they're going to honor their kids, and they're going to take a new direction. They're going to take more responsibility. And one of the things I said to this millennial's mom when I was talking to her on the phone, because she's, I mean, these people I'm talking to are still, the millennial's 40 years younger than I am, and their parents are, 15 years younger than I am, right? I mean, they're all, like, younger than me. And I just say, I have 7 grandkids, and I get to go do, you know, somersaults down the hills at the park. I get to run races with them. I said, isn't that what you see in your future? I mean, isn't that what you want to see in your future? And so many of them are just, like, they're couch potatoes now. And their kids aren't even married yet. And they're, like, going, yeah, Mary Jo, that's my dream. And I go, got it. Well, then prepare for it.
Do it, yeah.
Right. You're falling into a trap. Our world is full of people that get home from their jobs, eat lousy meals, and then sit on a couch or sit in an easy chair. We got a zillion of those going on, and we have an answer. And we want to make sure they're prepared for their grandkids. And your phraseology, how you work with people, is about what do they want for their life. Find out what they're and this woman. I mean, she couldn't stand the idea of not being able to play with her grandkids. That, and she knows it's inevitable on the path she's on. So let's take a new path, right? Yeah. And so that's it. So I look at millennials as catapults you into getting the parents. So if you get a millennial involved, you know, within a month or two, you're going to have all their parents and you're going to have their family because they're conscientious, they're trusting, they want to share, they want to make a difference, and they're going to start with, they'll talk to their friends and all that kind of stuff, and it may take a while because they don't feel quite that powerful with their parents, perhaps, as they want to, but some of them do and other ones don't, but they'll go after it. And they're going to, because, this one I'm talking about specifically, he was like, when I first brought it up, when he told me his mom had an autoimmune condition, I said, oh, my gosh, let me talk to your mom. And he goes, Mary, no, we can't do that, you can't do that. He felt it was very important that he spent a month on the products, doing his thing. And this is a guy that went from double extra large to extra large in 30 days on Fat Flush. I mean, he's and mom is now taking the products for health, but, you know, he felt it important that he showed her that this really works great. No matter what it worked on for him. He did it for the Fat Flush. She's doing it for her rheumatoid arthritis, because she's going to try to help her body, and we don't represent heal, cure, mitigate, but she looked at the products and felt like that'll make a difference for her. So.
I'm Mary Jo.
Yep.
Kathy Martz here.
Hey, baby, how are you?
My really good friend, you know, we've been in Manitech for, 20 years now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Her youngest of 7, you know, we've been through everything together, but her youngest of 7, just graduated from high school. I have never seen such a determined, persevere through every sport, excels in. This kid is incredible. He can sell anything. Well, all of a sudden he comes home and he says, Mom, I've joined the Dream Builder, whatever that, the big A there. And
He is absolutely loving it. They're going to meetings, what, every week, so some young person, you know, got a hold of him. This kid will go. Well, it's amazing, you know, just how God works. And so that's where he is for right now. But he's taken the time to actually listen to me because I've just been his mom's friend. He had no clue I'm a 12-star Bronze Presidential and Network Marketing Club and the Million Dollar Club because I don't act that way.
Right.
I don't act. No. Everybody's my friend. And, of course,
right.
Kid has no clue. I helped birth him 19 years ago. And who am I? So, but to see that, to sit down with him face to face yesterday, he absolutely listened to every word I had to say. They love Manitech products, but he's got somebody that's going to train him and do, you know, read all the same books that we read and whatever. But
sure.
To see that enthusiasm and to see
I know.
It, he's going to make it. He's going to do
yeah.
it.
Oh, sure.
And,
there's no doubt.
Someday I might move over to you, and my other leader, too, has kids that all went into Plexus, you know, and they're all the
yeah.
young millennials. And, it's, you know, Manitech is really, they've only seen, you know, the mom sharing and, the and you know, and maybe not a lot of income, and so this is giving them income. But I've seen it firsthand and not really knowing what to, you know, how
yep.
to. Get
well, it's like this, Kathy, that, you know, in everything, remember what Pilsner said. What did Pilsner teach us? Pilsner, and this is something great to bring up with the kids, too, if you want to talk to them. Don't ever, you know, just honor them for choosing this direct sales
right.
market
okay.
model. That's awesome. But the important thing is that you get it clear that, you know what, the whole trend here is you've got this huge growth going up in direct sales. So people are choosing it like crazy, right? The millennial generation is jumping in like crazy because they don't, and the job market isn't the greatest, but, of course, we help convince them that this is something they want to tier on top of their job anyway because they want financial freedom, which they're never going to get from their jobs. I mean, not that they never, they're not going to get unlimited wealth. They're going to create an income, and they might even create a good income, but it's never going to be unlimited wealth. They're not buying any Hawaiian island. They're not putting, you know, they're not building six churches in Brazil every year. They're not doing the things that whatever they're led to be able to do because they have unlimited income. So you got that, but these kids, they're choosing direct sales, but as Pilsner said, the model is as they choose these Plexus or somebody brought up Shakeology the other day, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, they're giving me these names because they're coming up every few months. We got a new one out there, and Herbalife and all this stuff, right? But remember what Pilsner said? He said, you know, as the wellness industry matures, people are going to always go to the best product. They're going to always eventually siphon to the best product. So you know what you have. In Manitech, you know, with that glyconutrient technology, you know, with Ambertose and with the real food technology, vitamin minerals and all the things we have, that eventually they will see that there's a difference between cheap and something that's total value.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And the other thing that you want, they're not selling their parents on Plexus, probably, maybe, I don't know, but that, I mean, that stuff is really... I've investigated that as well. But the idea is you want to just honor them for being involved and falling in love with the model, but also make sure they understand there's a difference. Here, there's a quality difference here. This might be a fast, quick fix over here, and that's why you enjoy doing it. Over here, you have the company of science. And that's how I distinguish Manitech. There's a reason every single direct sales convention, they look at Manitech and they call them the company of science. That's what we're known as, the company of science, because
those
that's what we have.
Those kids doing Plexus, though, have seen, you know, incredible results, and they're getting lots of money, and they claim it's all natural. So,
good luck.
Yeah, interesting. So, anyway, well.
You might do it. I mean, I don't know if you've done it, Kathy. Every time somebody brings me a company, I do the analysis. I just do the analysis. And I tell them, I just, my millennials out in Lubbock, they said, Mary Jo, we got Herbalife out here and we've got Avocare. So I sent them an analysis of both of them.
You just Google analysis of Plexus?
No, you can look at Plexus and you go in and you look under their products and you start looking at the ingredients. And you're going to see what's in it. And you can just, I'm telling you, it's not something that everybody is going to want to do because that's a lot of extra work, but I choose to do it because you know, when somebody comes up with something to me, I want to be able to say, hey, here's how you can counter that. I mean, the reason these products work the way they do is because they're cheap. They're garbage products. That's why they can build so much money into it, because they're garbage products. They might work, but they're very cheap, and they market up like 700% from what the cost is. You know? So there's plenty of money to be paid out. And that's, we don't have cheap products because our products are expensive to make. In fact, one of my favorite stories is Dr. James Macy. If you've never met Dr. James Macy, he's a chiropractor and he's my upline. And he was actually gifted the position when my upline passed away, Suzanne Kemp, for some of you have known her. And she gifted it to him in New York. And she said, I'll give you my Manatech position. Can you imagine handing somebody something, not even a relative, that's making, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 every 4 weeks, as long as you do Manatech. So he's doing, but the way he got familiar with Manatech, he was a chiropractor and he had his own product line. He had his own product line with Dr. Macy product line. And so he was making, you know, money off of his own product line. He had a manufacturer that made it for him. And when Suzanne originally approached him, she had breast cancer. I think it was on her third bout of breast cancer, which finally took her life. But she went in to visit him and was talking to him about Manatech. And she showed him Phytomatrix. And he goes, oh, okay, great. And he just laughed at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I kind of like what they're doing with this product. So he sent it off to his manufacturer and asked him to duplicate the product because he loved the ingredients and he loved what they were doing. And he said, analyze this and duplicate this for me. And, you know, a week later he got a call back from his manufacturer and the guy said, I don't know, Dr. Macy. He says, number one, we can't do what Manatech's doing. We can't develop a method of getting plant digested minerals like what they're doing. And if we ever chose to do that, I don't think you would be able to sell a vitamin mineral supplement to your patient base for almost $100 a bottle. So he was overwhelmed, that manufacturer was like overwhelmed by the quality of Phytomatrix, and that's what caused Dr. Macy to say, okay, then I'm going to market Phytomatrix, he said, right, because he wanted the best. And and the other manufacturers couldn't possibly touch it. He said no one else, they'd never seen anything done with the precision that Manatech was doing, nor with the concept of how they were constructing that product. It would be over the charts expensive to ever do that. So I just share that with you to give you some insight. But that's what you have. So, yeah, there will be people, you know, Kathy, don't get discouraged by it. People are going to go out there, they're going to do what's easy, but what you want to do is do something that makes a difference. Plexus is all weight loss, I believe, isn't it? Am I right? Oh, she's gone. Okay. All right, people. I think we're way over. But just enjoy it. Go out there. Know they're ready and raring for you. And sure, they're off on different paths. But love on them. Honor them. Take their advice. Talk to them. Share with them. And some will, some won't. Next, right? And you just, it's a building of a relationship. When you build a relationship and you build it in a way they like to do it, they do things differently. They don't want to go to an hour meeting, totally on board with that. So you got to have small little meetup groups. You got to have, I call it, I do this private business reception. Have a private business reception. That's what I do. So what does that look like? We have a private business reception. They can have it at a place outside their house. They can have it at their house. They can do it in an apartment complex, you know, little one of those, you know, meeting rooms that they have there. And they have a private business reception. They can have wine and cheese if they want to put that out and invite 50 of their friends. And what we do is we just mingle, and I do a little whiteboard presentation on cash flow quadrants, and I talk about, you know, what Kiyosaki says in regard to wealth quadrant, and I talk about what are the two greatest trends we see in our world today. And I put the circles up there, and I go, this is why you want to do it. And if you want more information, that's it. And that's all we do. So we spend 20 minutes going through cash flow quadrants, you know, how to create wealth, how to be financially free, and I put the big word choice on the board. because they all know it's just a choice. And that's what, that's kind of the way I suggest you mix and mingle with them. In their milieu, in their type of atmosphere that they like to do it, and short and sweet so it's not something that drags on. Okay? Clear? Clear. All right, everybody, have a great week. Let's go out there and get work on our new generations to build them and help them grow their business. Okay, everybody, talk to you next week. Bye.